Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet. Welcome to another Tadpog podcast. It's a show that happens twice a week where two old guys, and look at my watch, look at the calendar, one rather, still rather young lady.
TikTok.
Talk about old games. With every time we say tick and talk, her eye twitches twice.
Hey, look, we've covered this before. No matter what, we're always going to be older than you. Mm-hmm. I'm always going to be significantly older mm-hmm. than you.
So. I take comfort in that.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
You can go home just later. Oh, pretty much the most of my friends and my husband are all older than me. Talk about old games. It's Original Flavor Wednesday. It's an epic, long time coming. Nicole's been ready for this since mm-hmm. we said, and we're thinking about doing the N64.
Yeah, this is the big reason, right, Nicole, that you're doing this list with absolutely. Us for the most part. It's absolutely. This game.
Yes.
Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh, shit. Banjo-Kazooie, Tyler. The internet's favorite game.
I swear, I watched 10 playthroughs, 10 like more like research, seeing, you know, people talk about other histories and stuff like that. Basically, every one of them said, best game of all time. Just about every single person. But first, I'm your bearded host, Tyler. Okay, I've got two things I want to talk about. One, Nicole, what's your favorite food?
Biscuits and gravy.
Correct. That is your favorite food.
Not peanuts.
Was that a quiz? I know my own favorite food.
So I'd like you to try. Oh, man, I should have taken a picture of her face as I presented her with the bag of Lay's Southern biscuits and gravy potato chips.
These are going to be terrible.
What? How can a dish like biscuits and gravy not translate
Nicole,
wonderfully into a potato chip?
This is one of the
chip?
Finalists. How can it be horrible?
Oh, no.
I mean, isn't the texture of biscuits and gravy so similar to the potato chip? There's no way this is going to be bad.
This is like an abomination.
There's no way this is going to be bad. It's going to taste just like your grandmother's biscuits and gravy, only in a Monsanto packaged.
Did you like just open these?
Yesterday.
Because you just pulled them out of your couch. So.
That's where I keep chips. See, you didn't see the table over there with all the new flavors. I took this one back and hid it just in case you saw those that are sitting over there.
Are there better flavors over there?
Marginally.
We'll wait and answer that.
Tell us about the aroma first.
Yeah, you're sniffing it.
It doesn't really have one.
It's bouquet.
I don't, but I have a really bad sense of smell. So.
That's true.
Yeah, I know.
Someone let you take these home, too.
That tastes like a potato chip.
Nothing biscuity or gravy about them?
No.
I thought they were flavorless. They taste like a communion wafer to me.
Yeah, they're just like...
Or did I happen to get a weird bag that is unflavored?
Yeah, let me try another one. Like, there's...
I remember Brandon of Axelay fame got a bag of unflavored Funyuns. And that is the last time I believe he ate Funyuns because it was grossed him out so thoroughly.
Yeah, those sound like no flavor. Which I think is better because I think that if...
I smell like the pepper. I can smell kind of like a...
Yeah.
Because it smells like the dry mix that I used at Huddle House to make
gravy.
Gravy, yeah.
No, I don't think it has any flavor at all.
Well,
which kind of relieves me because I was afraid
you can tell Haley
disgusting.
Green, who submitted this, that she's fucking stupid.
Think we can find her on Twitter? I bet Mike can.
Probably. We end up bombarding some poor 13-year-old Haley Green.
How on earth did that make it to like the end?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Because it's weird.
They got really, really bad suggestions, I guess.
Nobody really gives a shit about the chip contest, and only like 10 people submit entries.
Well, see, last year, the flavor I liked the least is the one that won.
What was that?
The three cheese garlic bread or whatever.
I love that one.
So I didn't care. I like the sriracha and I forget the other one now. I liked it more. But
was there chicken and waffles? Is that the other one?
Chicken and waffles.
Which, oh yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah. Which honestly, like if they had these in baked Lay's version, I would probably eat them.
They're just like chips.
I don't eat like chips. The regular fried Lay's. Like I just don't like the way they're greasy. I don't like the way they taste. The wavy Lay's aren't bad.
Okay, try these, Nicole, and tell me what they taste like. We're just going to recycle.
I'm about to say we did this the other day, so we're going to do this every time we record until my chips are gone. Yeah.
But I need to know.
So when Jacob gets here in 3 months, we make him eat these old bags of chips.
I need to know Nicole's opinion on these.
The wavy truffle fries.
I feel like the flavor is okay. I'm not a big fan of the wavy, mm-hmm. but I do like the flavor.
So I felt, well, we all feel like they just tasted more like sour cream and onion.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The other reason I want to have you try them, Nicole, is that I also would like to eat some of these chips. Right.
I don't feel like there's quite as much onion as sour cream and onion.
Yeah. But.
I had a bowl of soup for lunch 6 hours ago, so.
And then the bag of New York Reuben smells like a diaper pail. So,
oh, that's lovely.
If you'd like to smell it.
Well, I don't know what a diaper pail
is. We're going to treat you like a boy and just make you smell bad things. That's, and then for reference, you can go in Kenna's room.
Are these taste okay?
They're okay.
Okay.
I'm not going to try one. What's the other one?
Euro.
That's the one I like the best.
Yeah, it's probably the best one.
Okay, I'll try this one since you said it was the best.
So you're okay with only trying 3 of the 4?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah. Not a completionist.
Can you smell them?
No, not really. I don't like those.
No.
Mm-mm. Now, are they all... Like, those are wavy and these are kettle cooked. Do they come in all the varieties of all the flavors, or do these only come kettle cooked?
Those are the only, that's the only thing that I saw. Mm. I didn't see them in different, any other different textures.
We are, this is our transition into the snack cast. I do think that Other Shit Wednesday should, or Other Shit Monday should be, hi, I'm Dave. I do this show. We've done this like over 250 times. Other Shit Thursday.
You're not the only one who can buy stuff from Sheetz, Jesse McElroy. Tyler and Dave buy food from Walmart and talk about it.
I haven't watched that.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
Meg has. She thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah. But.
Well, we can do it. We can do it too. I mean, they notoriously steal our shit all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
The other thing I wanted to talk about was because we had happened to talk about it. I was like, oh, we haven't brought that up on the show yet. And that is Josh Nance's bachelor party. So when it came down for like my bachelor party, I didn't want to overburden the best man, which mine was Josh. So I wasn't going to also like, Josh, throw me a bachelor party, because that would just be us. Exactly. I don't even have to explain myself. Nicole's immediate laughter explains my reasoning behind not having Josh do my bachelor party.
Let's. I want to stop and envision a bachelor party that Josh throws for you. What do you think? Like, what are we eating, first of all?
Whatever's in his house when we go over there.
He waits till everybody gets there and he's like, you guys want to order pizza or something?
It sounds all right to me. So far, I'm in.
You have anything to drink? Well, you can make a Walmart run. Okay. Well, because I appointed our friend MJ Link to throw my bachelor party, which he had an extravagant like Nashville weekend. He rented a boat. It was a really good time. So when it came for Josh's, so for Josh, Josh said, okay, well, MJ's already done one. So really who we have to do, I have to have Shake throw mine. Thinking like Shake is like he's a fraternity guy. He's been to lots of parties. On paper, it's an okay decision. Mm-hmm. You can see where that would be okay. Mm-hmm. But then Shake is also notorious for once he gets his mindset on something, nothing else can come into mind, come into view, and it's whatever his vision is. So his vision for Josh's bachelor party, step one was a roast. So he wanted to have the roast of Josh Nance for his bachelor party. And he wanted to get fucked up in some way. He didn't want to just drink. So he had a special surprise for us after the roast.
Right.
So for the roast, which we have filmed and no one can stand to watch anymore because everyone feels pretty bad about the roast. Although our friend Eli did make some very, very good Josh Nance puppets that I do wish I had. Those are really good. But at the, because Shake is the roast master, of course, and he had just watched the roast of Bob Saget. So he basically steals Gilbert Gottfried's bit about, like, where Gilbert Gottfried gets on stage and says things like, Bob Saget is not a pedophile. He is not blah, blah.
Right.
And Shake gets up, tries to repeat this set about Josh Nance, and it falls completely flat. Room full of people just looking at Shake as he's like, Josh does not molest little girls. So, I mean, we each get up in turn, tear him a new asshole. We weren't crazy about Nicole at the time, so there were plenty of jokes about Nicole. That's the biggest reason why we don't watch it anymore. It's like, oh, man, okay, nope. But and afterwards, Shake's like, all right, Josh, I got a special surprise for you. And he pulls out a huge basket of muffins. So he, instead of pot brownies, our thing is whenever we stay the night at somebody's house, we'd always make this certain brand you can buy at Walmart, blueberry muffins. So he buys that.
You don't feel like giving those blueberry people a plug?
If I remember what it was. I only know it by sight.
Is
I don't
Martha
know the name.
White? Those are the best muffins.
Maybe it's Martha White. Yeah. So
Martha White weed muffins?
Yeah, it's hard to find. It's a brand.
You can only get it in certain states.
And of course, one, Shake knows nothing about making any sort of pot-related product. And two, the only person he knows he can get pot from is our shadiest friend, our absolute shadiest friend. But and beforehand, he doesn't tell anybody what the surprise is. He just wants $20 from everybody.
Yes.
So it's like,
how many people were there?
Like 12 of us.
Yeah, there's a lot of people.
So I think he spent the most of that money buying the pot for the pot muffins.
That would equal about $240. Mm-hmm. That can buy you like, I'm pretty sure I can buy you like a trunk full of marijuana.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No. Did everybody like just blindly give him $20?
Yeah.
Without saying, like,
he's like, trust me, this is going to be awesome. But I want to surprise everybody. Just give me $20. Okay. So everybody did.
But this was before the party.
Yes.
Not like at the party before he gave them to you.
Right. No, okay. it was like a week in advance.
That's a little bit better, I guess.
Not everybody wanted to. Mm. Not everybody wanted to give him $20. But there was an enormous amount of hurt feelings for anybody not pitching him.
Oh, yeah. yeah. Oh, yeah. He gave the full butt hurt. This is for Josh. It's going to be an awesome thing. Please support me. Please trust me.
I spent my own money.
I'm your friend. Please. Yeah. I'm spending more money. I'm just asking you each for $20. I'm spending the bulk of the money on this. Right. Please. Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So he presents these pot muffins. At this point, I'm still super straight edge. So I decline, but I still let him keep my $20. A lot of people pick up and try these muffins. Dave, you tried the muffin.
Did they taste weird?
Oh, they tasted weird. They tasted weird. They didn't taste like pot per se. They just tasted bad. They tasted like something was in there. There was something. Something was added in there that wasn't supposed to be in there.
The guy he got it from had to have known, like, Shake's not going to know any better, and just dumped like oregano and pencil shavings into a bag, and that just been it.
Probably. I didn't, like, the muffin was unfinishable. I didn't finish it. I didn't, like, I ate like two bites and I was like, this is gross and is definitely not going to get me high. It doesn't matter how many of these I eat. It's just not, because whatever's in here is not a drug.
Out of everybody that tried one, everyone else said it was gross. It was disgusting. No one felt anything. Immediately, Jacob and McElwain were very angry, demanded their money back from Shake. And even though, like, Shake put up a fight, but they were angry enough at this point to even make Shake be like, okay, fine. Here, I'll give you guys money back. Because he just wanted to, like... So then after that, his big bachelor party experience was then to watch the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in the hot back room of this cabin. Of course, no. Everyone's kind of angry at this point. No one wants to sit down and watch this movie.
I think I left. I think I left.
So, but Shake is on the couch eating muffin after muffin after muffin, just looking like his eyes are saucer size. Like, man, I'm feeling it. Oh, fuck, I'm feeling it.
That's the night we found out that Shake has a gluten intolerance.
So didn't, I mean, I think Josh choked down a few, but he was not particularly pleased.
He wouldn't be able to tell if it tasted weird anyway. He can't taste anything.
That's true. I mean, he quote unquote hates pork chops, but ate pork chops for 5 years before he told you, like, I don't really like pork chops.
You can't smell and he can't taste. So, like, you guys, I feel like you guys belong together.
Because he had, like, pork chop Thursdays for years.
Yes. It wasn't quite 5 years, but it was over 2 years that I had pork chops at least once a week. And then finally one day, he's like, you know, I don't really like pork chops.
I like to imagine this scenario where you guys, like, are trying, like, you're going through your refrigerator and you're trying to figure out if something's spoiled. And you're smelling it, and you're like, I don't know. It doesn't smell bad. You're gonna taste this. So Josh tastes like, I don't know. It tastes fine to me. You guys are eating like shit from the 60s.
That's why they only keep like wine, orange juice, and Diet Coke in their fridge.
That's pretty much it.
And I also remember like going to eat Mexican, me and Josh and Shake, and none of us had like, we knew we'd eaten tacos and burritos. We knew like Taco Bell, but like actually sitting in a Mexican restaurant, we were just looking it over, ordering stuff. And Josh's standard is Pollo Loco. Anywhere he goes, Pollo Loco. Mostly because I think he knows what it means in Spanish and he likes saying it. So that's why he orders it.
Whenever we first started dating, he did. But now he's kind of branched out and he gets fajitas pretty much every time.
Okay. What?
I know.
Crazy.
Man.
He's evolving.
Bringing it to a 7.
Because he says he's the own Pollo Loco. And we all laugh because it's crazy funny chicken. To hear Josh say crazy chicken in Spanish in the Josh voice. And then Shake just looks at the guy. He's like, I just want a big plate of chicken. I don't know what any of this means. I just want a big plate of chicken. And the guy just nods his head and writes something down and goes back to the kitchen. And Josh gets up to go to the bathroom. And the guy comes and sets down 2 plates. And Shake looks at both of them. Sees the Pollo Loco looks better. Switches plates. Starts eating the Pollo Loco. Josh comes in, sets down, doesn't bat an eye, just starts eating his big plate of chicken. What, totally fine.
Just unseasoned chicken?
I don't even know if he knows about this because he just blindly just ate a big plate of chicken. Like, okay, yeah.
Like, was it fajita chicken crazy. Or was it just like...
To my knowledge, it was just like a big plate of like chicken, maybe with some like rice on the side.
Just raw chicken just with raw. The skin on it, just bones sticking out of there.
Well, it's okay.
What's up, Internet? I'm Dave. I am your bespectacled host, and I wanted to do a what you've been playing, because I have been playing a lot of a game called Heroes of the Storm, which is... Normally, I play games outside of the games that we talk about, but this is one that has changed my sleep pattern drastically. It's the first game, I think, since World of Warcraft that I have dreamt about, and I think about it while I'm at work, and I start scheduling things around it. This is honestly just a big, I want to give shout outs to everyone who is playing with me, and I would like for more people to play. And if you want to find me, my Battle.net ID is Finnegan number 1872.
Probably have to spell Finnegan because it's spelled untraditionally.
That's a good point. It's Finnagan. That's probably a show notable thing, maybe. I don't know. I don't know if I can do a link to that or whatever. Mm-hmm. But add me if you want to play, and we will play. Sandwich Pope Phil plays. Time Lord Josh Edwards plays. Rhythm Master Paul Korn. My cousin David of Being My Cousin fame, he plays.
Dave's cousin David.
It's really, I love it because like... Time Lord Josh met him for the first time like in Skype last night, and he was like, "Oh, this isn't going to be confusing at all," because I call him Dave, and that's like, have I ever told that thing about my family? There's like so many Davids in my family, because my dad is named David and his dad was named David, and then on the other side of the family, I have an uncle David and his son David, and there's been instances where it's just, well, here we all are at a house and someone says David and like four people look over because we outnumber everyone else there.
See, it's always weird talking to someone else with your same name. Like, yeah. I have to call Todd Dunnigan. It feels really weird calling him Tyler. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
I think that for me, growing up in my tiny class of 30 people, there were like four Nicoles. So I just kind of got used to it. Four Nicoles, three Ashleys and two Brittanys within 30 people.
We had a ton of Ashleys, Brittanys, and Brandys. That was a majority of my graduating class.
Cody doesn't have a title, right?
No, he doesn't.
I mean, Cody. I play with Cody. I mean,
Fish Lips, Jay's doppelganger Cody.
Yeah, naturally. And then I'm pretty sure we're gonna get a new listener from all this sleep I've been losing. Phil's friend Travis.
All right. So, yeah. All right.
Pretty good. Pretty good. It's a fun game that I'm not even gonna fucking try to describe, unless you want me to. Everyone here looks super interested.
I mean, I don't know. I don't even know. I think I saw you watching videos of it.
Like, yeah, whenever I also watched videos of it.
Like, one hot girl playing
Yui.
Playing it. Yeah.
Yeah, she's very attractive, and she's good at the game. So it's fun to watch her. I tried watching some, because there's ranked play, right? Like competitive play, rank 1 being the best, and I think rank 50 being like the worst. And I watched several rank 1 players, and I can't understand them. Like, I can't understand what they're saying. Like, but she, I was going through, and I was like, oh, she's attractive. Let's check this out. Drew me in, and I was like, oh, I can understand what she's saying. That's a plus as well.
Yeah.
Then she's a good player. So that's been fun to watch. It's kind of, I haven't played, Tyler, you've played Awesome Knots?
Yeah.
On the Steam, your Steam challenge. Is that a MOBA, Awesome Knots?
Well, it's 2D.
Is it like you have a base, they have a base, you try to get their base while they try to get yours?
Yep.
Yeah, it's like that.
Okay, it's over the head?
Yeah, and it's all Blizzard properties.
Okay.
So they've got like a bunch of Warcraft heroes, a bunch of Starcraft heroes, and then the Lost Vikings are in it, oddly enough.
Okay, that's...
Phil's brought up like a great point that Kyle Blackthorne needs to be in it. I agree 100%. He would be the most metal character. I think that's a great idea.
Oh, man. That's a name I haven't thought about in a long time.
We also want a giant car from Rock and Roll Racing. I think that would be good. That's all it does is just drive around, drives over people.
It drives over bombs and costs you money.
Exactly. And then they got Diablo characters in there, too. So it's fun.
All right.
It's free to play. I have spent money on it. Not ashamed to say, I will probably spend more money on it because it's a fun game.
Well, if you enjoy it this much, that's okay.
Yeah, I think so.
As long as it's not like, I feel like a lot of the freemium games are like impulse decisions, but like if you're enjoying it so much, other people are enjoying it so much, and it's not like you're just tapping something and paying money so you don't have to wait as long.
Yeah. There is a little bit of that because, like, they've got heroes that are on free rotation, right? So when you first start out, there's 5 characters you can play for free. And then a week goes by, and they rotate out, and there's 5 different characters you can play for free. So what happens is you more than likely you will play a character during their free rotation and be like, oh, man, I really like that character, and now I can't play him because he's not on free rotation anymore.
Oh,
and that's when I've bought a character before. But you can buy – there's in-game currency you can buy them with as well as real money.
How easy is it to earn the in-game currency?
Right now, for me, it's been really easy because, like, I've got almost – I think I've got around 40,000 gold, and the cheapest characters are 2,000 gold.
Oh, okay.
And they range from like 2,000 to 10,000. I think like the brand new ones Like the King Leoric, the Skeleton King, just came out today, and he's 15,000. But within 2 weeks, he'll drop down in price to 10,000.
Okay.
So,
because the game that I play on the toilet that shall not be mentioned is like
right.
The in-game currency is also easy to get, so I don't see the need to ever anybody would spend. I mean, they've millions and millions have been spent on it.
Yeah.
I don't see why you'd have to.
I see.
As opposed to Tapped Out, which like the in-game currency is much harder to get.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I see in the future once I hit the level cap, 3 levels to go. Well, I've been playing it 2 weeks, and I can see once I hit that cap, you stop getting like gold bonuses for leveling up, and then you have to rely on like daily quests. And there's a treasure goblin from Diablo 3 that you can kill once per day
okay.
to give you a bump in gold. But I'm a little concerned because like once you hit that cap and you level up all the heroes to level 5 because mm-hmm. that's where you get a you get like 500 gold if you level a hero up to 5. Like once those things are done, it's just like okay, not gonna get a whole lot of gold anymore.
Oh, okay.
So, well, it's fun. I welcome you to try it. I don't think that you would really enjoy it.
I don't think
you yeah either. So it's been one of those things where it's like I've been like, well, I'm pretty sure Tyler's probably heard us like talk about this in chat, and I've mentioned it around Tyler a few times. Doesn't seem too interested. That's why I haven't been like blowing you up to play Heroes of the Storm. Because I figured if you were interested, you'd be like, "What is this game?"
Because I'll watch you play it. I'll watch the hot girl play it.
She's better at the game, and she's much better looking than I am. So I would recommend you watch her.
I don't know. If she's much better looking. Just she in a different
in
way.
In a different way.
In a different.
I find
way.
You both attractive, but a different
in very different yeah. ways. I only want to come on one of your chests.
Thank you. Thank you.
Don't curl your nose at me, Nicole. Me coming on somebody's chest.
Could be me. Could be me, Nicole.
Whatever you're into.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
Are you ready to do this?
My body is ready.
Are you, Nicole, is your body prepared?
Yes.
All right. Banjo-Kazooie.
Nicole, take it away.
Yep, Dave and I are just going to set our headphones, our headsets down. And we're going to walk away, leave Nicole in here for the next hour and 3 minutes.
Before we started recording, Nicole told me that she had notes, mm-hmm. which is pretty rare.
Yeah, I pretty much never make notes. So.
You, not only that, you have how many pages of notes?
I have 4 pages of notes.
Wow.
Fuck.
They're good. Little pages.
So did you like this game?
I love this game.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I love this game.
Would you like to... Should we do Nicole read some Wikipedia?
You tried to do that
agree.
Once before, and I said no.
That's different. You didn't have orgasms over the other game we asked you to do it to.
Wait, I didn't know. Really?
No.
You didn't have tons?
I've got a story to tell.
Yeah, all right.
I read this. I found this today when I was trying to do research on Banjo-Kazooie. This is a show notes thing. There's a guy on 4chan who posted... that he was really, when he was a child, I guess child is probably not the right term to use, when he was an adolescent, he used to get turned on by the idea of Kazooie, the red bird in this game, the cartoon red bird. he would get turned on by the idea of her laying an egg. Because in this game, she shoots eggs. I mean, I think the developer said shoots eggs out of her butt. So that's not, I don't think that's how eggs work, but so he would get aroused.
As a chef, Dave, that's exactly how eggs work.
Well, okay. Well, I stand corrected. I'm willing to admit when I'm wrong. This person, when they were in adolescence, they were turned on by the egg thing, and to the point where the first time that they decided to masturbate, he chose to do it to Kazooie. And the image that he chose in this game, there is a move that you can do where normally Banjo the bear is the one walking around mm-hmm. and Kazooie's in the backpack. But there's a move that you can do where Kazooie is doing the walking and they flip. And Banjo's on Kazooie's back.
They're versatile.
They're versatile.
Sometimes they're... once the top, one's the bottom, they'll flip off.
They're both pleasers. And it's much faster that way, because Kazooie's much faster. So this person chose that position to jerk it to for the first time in their life. And later on in life, saw this image and realized that they were what they were focusing on the whole time. And this is in his words. He thought he was focusing on, quote unquote, Kazooie's slit. Actually turned out to be Banjo's gonads. And then the clincher is the bottom line. And I think that's why I swing both ways now. So that's a cool way to intro the game, I feel like.
Yep.
Welcome to Tadpog.
The person who wrote that may or may not have been one of us. But it's fine.
I was wondering why Nicole was like really quiet.
The first time she slicked it was to Banjo's gonads.
Damn it, I thought it was Kazooie's slit. You hear that, Tyler?
I do.
What's that? What is that? No, it's that train again. We hear that train a lot.
It's the masturbating teenager.
It's not even a train. It's just someone that should not be masturbating here.
And he slams pictures of the game up on our windows.
Yes, I hear that. I do hear that. Very familiar sound from years and years ago. of course, ushers in a segment that we like to call Dave Reads from Wikipedia. Unless, Nicole, you've changed your mind.
No, it is a tradition that you read Wikipedia.
Okay, guys. Banjo-Kazooie is a platform video game developed by Rare and originally released for the Nintendo 64 video game console on June 29th, 1998. That's in North America. It also came out in Europe, in case you're listening in Europe. You're not. On July 17th,
we have like two European listeners.
It is the first installment in the Banjo-Kazooie series and follows the story of the titular characters, Banjo and Kazooie, as they try to stop the plans of series antagonist Gruntilda, who intends to switch her beauty with Banjo's sister, Tootie. The game features 9 open levels where the player must complete a number of challenges like solving puzzles, jumping over obstacles, gathering objects, and defeating opponents. Banjo-Kazooie was under development for more than 2.5 years and was originally intended to be an adventure game named Project Dream for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. The game was a critical and commercial success, selling nearly 2 million copies in the United States and receiving an aggregated review score of 92 out of 100 from Metacritic. The game was praised for its detailed graphics, immersive sound, and intricate level design. In 1999, it received 2 awards from the Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences, Console Action Game of the Year, and Outstanding Achievement in Art and Graphics. In 2008, the game was re-released for the Xbox 360 through Xbox Live, and a sequel to sequel called Banjo-Tooie, which we talked about previously on the show, was released for the Nintendo 64 in 2000. So now that I've said all these wonderful things about the game,
we're gonna trap Nicole down like in Clockwork Orange and just shit on this game so hard in front of her.
Worse than that, I feel like, because here's my opinion. I'm just going to go ahead and get it right out. I feel like this is worse than me shitting on the game. It's okay. It's okay. I mean, there is absolutely no way it was going to live up to the hype.
Mm-hmm.
It was just impossible. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is nearly 20 years of compounded hype.
Like, I would have had to, like, upon completion of the game, like, my TV start bleeding Christ blood for me to like capture in a goblet. Would have been the only thing that I've been like, okay, all right, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good game.
That's amazing. Well, that's how I feel about the original Diablo. Because it's like, I guarantee you, you're not going to like that game. But I think it's an excellent game. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things where it's like, that kicked off a big thing. There's a lot of hype around it. The people who played it when it first came out are like, man, Diablo, great game. But I imagine someone who hasn't played it going back to it being like, all right, well, I mean, this is okay. You sure do a click a lot.
for it being so many years later and the technology being so, so dated and games having taken this and built on it in better ways, to say, for to have never played it and sit down and play it for the first time and say, that's okay, is pretty good. That's pretty good.
I didn't think it was bad. Honestly, I didn't think it was bad. And I do think immediately, I was like, this is better than Banjo-Tooie.
Yeah. Right out of the gate, it's better than Banjo-Tooie.
And the reason this, Nicole, please correct me if I'm wrong. This might just be like some kind of placebo effect. But I swear that Banjo-Kazooie is a faster game.
I think that's a fair statement.
Because that's like, I loved that. I love that it was, and maybe it's just because there wasn't all that. Tyler, you brought this up when we talked about Banjo-Tooie. When you start Banjo-Tooie, there's all this bloat because they expect you to know all the moves that you learned in Banjo-Kazooie. There's not that in the first game, which is like a very liberating feeling because it's like, okay, I don't have to already like have all this knowledge of how to play this game. I'm actually going to be taught how to play it. And I like that.
And right, playing the tutorial, because you both did basically the same tutorial in both the games.
I did not like that, yeah.
you can skip it.
I didn't want to, but yeah.
I didn't want to either, but you have that option. You don't have the option in Banjo-Tooie. You just have to endure it. But it does. It is immediately faster. I sat down and immediately played it like, all right, this feels much better right away. It was the same difference as going from playing Dragon Age on a console to playing Dragon Age 2 on a console. Because I just remember how crazy smooth Dragon Age 2... Say what you will about Dragon Age 2, but starting out that game, playing as a rogue was incredible as compared to how clunky the other one was on a console.
Yeah, they did a switch, because like Dragon Age was... I mean, for all intents and purposes, it was a PC game that got ported to a console. And then like Dragon Age 2... very much felt like a console game.
Yeah. So it was just, I remember playing and be like, wow, this is just so smooth. And you would think the sequel would be better as opposed to worse in just about every way. In just about every way. Like in Banjo-Kazooie, it has way more personality and there are different ways to play because you can play as, you get transformed into all these different things. There are the levels play differently, and basically in Banjo-Tooie, you're just Banjo jumping around.
Yeah, there is some transformation, but I feel like in this game it was more entertaining because like the thing that I think of, because I did not finish this game, but the thing I think of is at some point the dude with the skull head Mumbo turns you into a tiny ant.
Termite?
Mm-hmm. Are the other things termites or are those big ants?
They're termites.
Okay, they're all termites.
Yeah.
While you're traveling around as this little termite, the big termites keep making comments about your shorts. Mm-hmm. And that's like a running joke the whole time you're a little termite. I didn't feel like Banjo-Tooie had that kind of stuff because like I thought that was funny. And that's when I feel like Rare is being the best because I have a hard time getting past the gameplay for games like Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie, and Conker's Bad Fur Day because I'm not an explorer when I play games. I don't want to explore, and I feel I want to complete tasks. I just want to do the things, and I want to enjoy those things, but I'm not interested in...
Or at least see like, right, my goal is here, but then see the other path you can go on if you want to.
That I don't mind.
Yeah.
And it's tough for me. And the big reason I say I feel like this game is okay is because the game is all about exploring. Exploring and finding hidden things, not that aren't just like one-ups and continues. But, I mean, you're exploring for things that are actually going to allow you to progress in the game. Mm-hmm. Just like Banjo-Tooie, same thing. But... I get sidetracked I get torn away from that because I don't want to explore. I don't want to. I want to like do the things. I want to experience the writing. I want to experience the funny bits. Mm-hmm. I want to experience the levels where you are termite and the different kind of gameplay, but I don't, I'm not interested in bumbling around the low res 3D world.
Yeah.
I'm just, that's just not a thing that I want to do.
Nicole, you want to take us to church? We will be the audience and you be the preacher and you tell us, tell me about your experience and why this game means so much to you and why you love it so much.
I think that this game has, it does a lot of things really well, mm-hmm. in my opinion. I feel like it has a really creative, an unusual protagonists, two of them.
And Banjo being called Banjo because he's a bear that plays the banjo.
He plays the banjo because he plays the kazoo.
We didn't talk about the awesome opening to this game. Did you guys watch the opening mm-hmm. where they perform a Rock and Fire Explosion kind of deal in the forest where like everybody's like banjos playing the banjo. They're all playing their musical instruments. Is that referenced anywhere else in the game? Like at any point they're like, hey, remember that band we put together that we named ourselves after? Banjo, Kazooie, Tootie on the flute. We just don't mention it again.
I hope they were just animals until they picked up these instruments and it gave them sentience.
That's their origin story.
And they had no other way to identify themselves other than like, I am Banjo. For I am the one that plays the banjo.
That's a good D&D campaign right there. We're all awakened
animals. Everybody, pick an animal, and I'm going to roll a random, roll a die for what your instrument is. Please continue.
I'm French hornopotamus.
I'm sousaphone possum.
And I feel like the fact that it is so unusual, like, opens it up to having really interesting moves that you can do mm-hmm. as well. And I really just feel like you have lots of cool mini games, you mm-hmm. have items, you have the fun little quips that Gruntilda throws in every once in a while, you have really good dialogue,
yeah.
you have really interesting NPCs.
Yeah.
The music's good.
Yeah.
All the transformations you can do. I mean, I feel like it does so many different things and keeps it so interesting and varied, and I feel like everything it does well.
I think the dialogue is great. I agree with you 100%. It's kind of how I felt about Conker and how I felt about Banjo-Tooie. Like, that's what I really enjoy about these games is the dialogue. And it's funny. That is entertaining to me. And even, like, the scenarios are entertaining because this is essentially Banjo-Kazooie. The story of the game is, like, it's kind of like Snow White. Because the witch, Gruntilda, wants the beauty of Tootie and captures her. Mm-hmm. This is where I guess it deviates a little bit. captures her and puts her in what looks like the teleportation devices from The Fly.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's entertaining to me. The fact that, I mean, obviously they're taking from Cronenberg. And, like, that's cool. I like that. Because it's just kind of like one of those things where it's like, okay, I get what you're doing. That's clever. And I think Rare games for the N64 have all been clever, except for maybe the exception of Perfect Dark. But then again, maybe. maybe. I don't want to piss too many people.
That was the most Woody Allen I've ever seen you. I just want maybe. So right away, this game, of course, Gruntilda's in her cauldron stirring things up and saying, you know, saying like, I'm pretty fucking hot on my cauldron. I'm super hot. Yeah, you're really hot. There's someone hotter. This little girl, this little blonde girl is like hotter than you. Well, fuck her. You know, kidnap her and puts her in that machine. And right away, so the game tells you, at one, as a kid, I would have loved, if I'd played this when it came out, as a kid, I think I would have been crazy about yep. this game. It has the elements yep. that like a young person is going to latch on to.
No, I agree.
But its message immediately is like, there is nothing worse than being fat and ugly.
Well, to Gruntilda.
Nothing worse.
To Gruntilda, though. She's a...
Well, you got to rescue your sister. You don't want her to be fat and ugly.
Well, I mean, I feel like it's the worst thing.
Yeah, you don't want bad things to happen to your family.
Whenever you quit the game...
Yes. It ends. Yeah. You quit the game because like I saved it, right? There's like an option. Okay, I was like, okay, I'm done with this. Save and quit. and I got a game over cutscene, which I think is really, really cool that they put this in here. But Tyler, please, describe the cutscene to us, please.
Because when you quit, it's as if, like, Gruntilda wins. They do the switch, out steps, you know, super hot Gruntilda, and then Tootie, who is really just fat and green now.
Started out as Dixie Kong the bear.
Yes, yes,
and turns
absolutely,
and turns into Dixie Kong the bear as a hobgoblin.
Because really, I mean, Banjo could have been like, I mean, that's really mean what you did here.
Yeah,
you should show me your boobs. But all right, Tootie, we're gonna take you home. We're gonna put you on a diet, and everything's really gonna be okay. But
Mumbo essentially does that because he shows up randomly with a flower that he gives to Gruntilda.
Yeah. I feel like Hot Gruntilda is one of the better animated things in this game.
Did you pay attention to her voice? Because the voices are all like these sound clips that are kind of like put together. Like we talked about that in Banjo-Tooie.
And that's the only, like, there are two shining negatives in this game to me. That is one of them. I mean, I'm sure still people love it, but I can't stand it. Can't fucking stand it.
Did you notice sexy Gruntilda's?
Mm-mm.
Like, ooh,
it sounds like, yeah, it sounds like they cut a porn.
Yeah.
Like in the bit, because she is like, and it's like, holy shit.
All your sexiness, little girl.
Yeah.
I sucked out all your sexy. You're not sexy at all, little girl.
Because, like, I did one of those things where she was talking, where I, like, kind of like looked around the room just to make sure no one else was there.
And the kid still chose to jerk it to Kazooie's slit.
Well, Gruntilda doesn't lay eggs, even when she's sexy. The dialogue sounds didn't bother me so much, but what did for some reason is whenever the dialogue balloons kind of come in and out, it does this like the VH1 pop-up video, like, whoosh, whoosh, and like that was more distracting to me than like them actually talking. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Did we talk about this in Banjo-Tooie? Could you hold down the A button just to make the dialogue go super fast? If that's a feature in Banjo-Tooie, I didn't know about it, and I wish I had, because like this made the game. I like the dialogue, but I don't like how long it takes for them to deliver it. And that might help you with their voices, yeah. Tyler, because it does get old listening to
every syllable has a beep to it. So.
For like 20 seconds. It's like, all right, well, I read the thing already. I guess I just got to wait for this bird to fucking bark it out.
See, I'm okay with just like, really just like beeps and stuff from like RPGs where you've got like the high pitch beep for girls and the low pitch beep. Yeah, that I can deal with. But the other weird ass noises that are like they're clipped, I just can't deal with.
I hear you.
Go on, Nicole. did you pick this game out? Like, did your dad take you to the store and you were like, I want this game? How
you
did
know,
you?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember. But yeah, it's definitely one of my favorites. I think that how far did both of you get in the game?
I got to Junkyard Shark.
Clanker's Cavern.
Clanker's
scary. That is kind of like startling whenever you just see that come into vision. Everything has eyes.
Googly eyes.
Everything has eyes. Yeah. If it has eyes, you can interact with it. Right?
Why oh no?
Because
where does it, is it pick up like a treasure?
Treasure Trove Co. is my favorite. That's where you learn to fly.
Right.
And that one's my favorite level. You're at a beach.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just kind of sad you didn't get to play that one.
Here's what I think: the flying's cool, but it felt stilted to me because you can only fly when you find one of those like flying pads, mm-hmm. like the red buttons you have to stand on, and that's like this is your designated flying spot.
Oh, like a Conker's kind of event.
Yeah, which I mean, you get on that thing and then you can fly. I didn't like that because it was one of those things where it's like, okay, I got to remember where the red thing is and I had to find it and then I can fly. And inevitably I'm not going to fly where I want to because I'm bad at this game. I'm going to like land somewhere in the ocean. The shark's going to bite me. Snacker is going to bite me. And then I got to like, okay, where was that red button that I got to stand on to fly again to get Mumbo's skull? Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I can't not get the things in the game.
There's a lot of things to get to.
I can see after watching you play Alan Wake, because like coffee thermoses, pages, like you're a collector style gamer. So that translates really well to Banjo-Kazooie. Like you need to be, if you're a collector, you're going to fucking love this game.
But here's the difference, because I, before we started recording, Nicole and I were kind of talking about collecting and games, and I brought up Assassin's Creed and how that kind of turned me off from the series, because I am the kind of person where if there's shit to collect, I feel obligated to collect it because I paid for this game and I got to like make myself miserable squeezing out all the value of this game because I'm just like that. Definitely not a great thing about my personality. But in Assassin's Creed, there's all this shit that you collect. The first one, I don't know if it changed, but in the first one, there's all this shit you collect that has absolutely nothing to do with anything. It's just like shit in the game that you collect. And that made me, I was obsessed with collecting all the things. And I collected all the things, and then Assassin's Creed 2 came out. I hear it's great. Everyone has really good things to say about it, but it's like, I can't play the game because I'm going to have to collect all the things again.
It has a little more payoff in 2 because you're rebuilding your city in 2. So collecting all the feathers gets you achievements and costumes and helps you rebuild part of your city and stuff
not,
like that.
Not good enough for me. Yeah. Alan Wake is perfect because I loved the story of Alan Wake and I wanted to solve the mystery of Alan Wake. And I figured that finding all the manuscript pages would help me do that. Mm-hmm. It kind of did. But in Banjo-Kazooie, it's all about progression. Mm-hmm. There really isn't a whole lot else. I mean, you collect the things to progress further into the game.
Yeah, you collect jiggies, music notes.
10 jiggies per world, 100 music notes per world.
What you have to do in one run. That's the other negative about the game.
I thought you.
Because if you die, you have to recollect.
Oh yeah, if you die. Mm-hmm. But you can leave.
Not with like the jiggies. Like if you die, like you keep what you got, but the music notes you have to recollect.
And 5 Jinjos per level.
Jinjos, the empty honeycombs.
Yeah.
Presents at one point, you have to collect presents for people. Did I see that?
Extra lives.
Extra lives. Do you get continues as well, or is it just extra lives?
Extra lives.
So you collect a lot of shit.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stuff.
And like Rare's Super Nintendo games, like the Donkey Kong Country series, I like a lot. And there's a lot of hidden stuff in those games. Like, I mean, they're jam-packed with hidden stuff. Like every level has like a hidden sub-level in it pretty much. Mm-hmm. I like that better because I feel like for some reason that stuff feels special to me. Like finding the hidden stuff feels special. It's like this is like a bonus thing. Mm-hmm. But in like Banjo-Kazooie, it feels like this is a thing that I have to do. It's not special. It's not bonus. It's like, it's how to finish the game by finding the things. And that's, that works for some people, but it doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
Besides collecting things, there are also items. You get rubber boots to wear to protect you from wading in the water, and you get tennis shoes to make you run faster. And then there's...
Or the eggs, too, to shoot.
You shoot eggs. Yeah,
and ammo.
Red feathers.
Red feathers to fly. Gold feathers for invincibility. And then there's... You could throughout Gruntilda's lair. Her sister is hiding in little places to tell you secrets about Gruntilda. Which...
That comes into play, right?
Yeah.
I heard... I didn't finish it or watch the ending... But that comes, there's like a quiz at the end of the game?
Yeah, I'll give you a couple.
So she has 3 sisters. She has her skinny sister, her fat sister, and then this
good
person.
Sister.
Okay.
Well, I guess she, because wait, she has two sisters in Banjo-Tooie, right?
Yeah.
Does Gruntilda show up at all in Banjo-Tooie?
I don't know.
She must have been murdered.
I never saw her.
So. Okay, so yes, please, you've got notes.
I got some notes, yeah. Things that Gruntilda tells you about Gruntilda that are just funny. She tells you that she brushes her teeth with moldy cheese-flavored toothpaste.
I thought it was tuna fish flavored.
It's different, depending on your run.
Really?
That's why you gotta take notes.
Interesting. Well, no. No. I don't want to collect all the things and take notes. I have to do one thing that I hate and not the other.
As a kid, this was the first game I took notes for.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did you know? Like, were you taking notes because you knew?
No, because she says you're going to need to know this later. So I'm like, okay.
Interesting. I love that. Well. I love that. Because, like, when I read that, I was like, okay, whatever. Video game.
She says that Gruntilda's favorite smell is sweaty gorilla feet, and that her pet dog's name is Leg Chomper, and her favorite color is dung brown. So,
what a gross person.
Gross sunny like things. But yeah, you go to a quiz called Grunty's Furnace Fun.
And this is at the end of the game, right?
Almost.
Okay.
Almost at the end of the game. Yeah, and then you win the quiz, and then you get 2D back.
Okay, so what happens if you don't win the quiz?
I don't know.
Really? Okay. I'm curious.
Have to take it again, I guess.
So you do risk... Okay, this brings me to another question. You finished this game.
I've not finished this game.
What?
I don't
know. Wow.
Really?
I mean, knowing me, you shouldn't be surprised at all.
I am super surprised.
I am surprised. As much as you love this, I'm surprised.
Why haven't you?
I just never
You've beaten Mario did. 64. So I'm sorry you haven't beaten this. You've never beaten Mario 64 either?
No. I mean, you can count on one hand how many games I've beaten.
Man, my world.
I've seen you beat them.
Yes.
My world is unraveling. You have some ether or something, Tyler?
No, I've watched the ending. I know how it ends and everything, but...
How does it end?
Well, Josh can treat you as poorly as he wants. You're just not going to finish the marriage. You're not going to end it.
There you get, you do the quiz, you get 2D, and then you go back to your house, you have a barbecue to celebrate. And then 2D's like, she escaped. You guys need to go and, like, finish her off. So you go back and you fight Gruntilda.
Don't they reference barbecue in Banjo-Tooie? Or am I just completely making that up?
I don't know.
Okay. So what happens to 2D at the end of the game? Like, it just ends there?
Yeah, well, I mean, you go and you fight Gruntilda, and then, like, the end scene is, like, them hanging out on the beach.
What happens to Tootie from Banjo-Kazooie to Banjo-Tooie?
You don't see her. That's why I'm surprised, because you don't see her in Banjo-Tooie. She's not there.
I just assumed that at the end of the game,
maybe she there's an accident. Up and moved away or something.
She has all that sexy potential, so I guess she got hot and moved away. And Bottles the Mole clearly is a ripoff of Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys. After playing this, there's no doubt in my mind. Rare was like, man, we really like this show. Let's make a mole what's his name? Bubbles and Wood Bottles. It's fine. It's fine. Do it.
I want Rare's time machine.
And then, okay, so there's also the magic, a spell book that lets you
cheat.
Yeah. What is it called? Cheater or Cheeto?
Cheeto.
That you... There's like a puzzle inside of it that you jump on different letters to put in codes that basically, like finding the bat in Link to the Past or whatever, it doubles your inventory for your eggs and shit like that. What I found interesting and sad about this game is the stop and swap that it's after you beat the game, and there's a feature after the end where Mumbo basically shows you pictures, and it's, I guess maybe Infamous stole this from Banjo-Kazooie, because Mumbo shows you pictures of certain places in the game where he's hidden these eggs with letters on them. Mm-hmm. And then you guys are playing through the game again, trying to find these very small chests, like trying to know from these pictures where they are. And then once you gather them up and then put them together, and then like you have to input the code in Cheeto or something like that, that it will then unlock something. Or, for a while, no one knew what it did, period.
Is it the crystal key? I read something about the crystal key as an item in the game that, like, no one was sure if it was obtainable or what it did. Is that it?
Yeah, it's in the pictures that he shows you at the end.
Yeah, okay.
So I think what it was supposed to do, because for all it turned out it did nothing, but what it was supposed to do was you could transfer data from Banjo-Kazooie to Banjo-Tooie and unlock something.
Yeah.
Why in the world they didn't just have you use your memory pack
to
transfer
know.
Data? I don't fucking know. PlayStation did that with Suikoden. Like, it's a thing that was happening. But the thing with supposedly the thing with the N64 is it retains the data. The earlier version of the N64 retains the data for 10 seconds before it shuts off and forgets everything.
Flushes the memory. Yeah.
So you have 10 seconds. So what you were supposed to do is get to that point in Banjo-Kazooie while the system is on, pull out the game, put in Banjo-Tooie, and then the memory is still there, so then you can unlock something in Banjo-Tooie.
Which is ridiculous to me.
So fucking stupid.
Well, because they've got the expansion pack. Like, they've got a memory pack that you put in your controller.
You could have done that.
You can save your games on that. I would think that you could save other data on that.
But that's not how they chose to do it. And then in later versions of the N64, where they just Nintendo fixed that to where it only retains the memory for 1 second. So then it became impossible to use this feature. So it just does nothing.
I bought this on the Xbox Live Arcade, and they did fix that to where if you get the secrets, it translates into bonuses in Nuts and Bolts, which we won't talk about.
People don't like to talk about that game.
No, we'll just not talk about it.
The JonTron of that's pretty good. Yeah. It explains everything pretty well. And just me watching it made me love it. Oh, man, that is so bad. It looks so horribly bad and unfun and unfinished. Because Nuts and Bolts has, like, a whole nother, like, huge world like Banjo-Kazooie, but there's nothing in it. Like, you just run around in it. Like, it feels like it was supposed to be a full game, and then Microsoft's like, no, just make it about cars.
It's a bunch of games. Like, it's like, it's at least three games, like, smashed into one.
Ugh. This game did make me, it made me, originally before I started playing it, I thought, the hype's too big. I hate Banjo-Tooie. I'm going to hate this. And then I was listening to the Crack podcast, and they were talking about nostalgia used to be considered a mental illness back in the day because basically we have things because of like the internet and popular culture now. So our nostalgia is different and not exactly dangerous. As opposed to like soldiers in World War One, their nostalgia for being at home and like out of danger and times that have passed could get them killed. And I guess we sort of still have that nostalgia in effect now because like, I'm not gonna say on the game. Well, I'm gonna say like to the point of stupidity, just because like one, it's gonna be a weird reference. Okay, down Periscope. Gotta bring it back to that right. Kelsey Grammer classic.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You root for the old sub that he's in just because, like, we have this weird nostalgia factor for, like, older technology as being, like, this reliable... where we put our own beliefs into technology that's going to be inferior. There's no way that, like, his decommissioned submarine is going to really take out three nuclear state-of-the-art submarines. But that nostalgia factor that we have for some reason for stuff like that, it made me think of it again. I started watching Battlestar Galactica because I gave that to Mac Wayne before Dragon Con. So I was like, well, I should probably watch this too. And they're talking about the nostalgia for the Battlestar Galactica, which is super old and it's remained super old because the Cylons couldn't fuck with it. So it just made me think of that, made me think of the nostalgia we have for, like, in movies, and then just made me think of, like, these games that we're doing now.
Yeah.
Just because, like, nostalgia, we've said, like, how powerful it is, and, like, we blame stuff on that, but, like, nostalgia is really fucking powerful and really fucking blinding.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to disagree with you on Down Periscope. I think the nostalgia factor on Down Periscope is where we're like, oh, this is a good movie.
Kelsey Grammer can pull this off.
But I think
you seen Frasier? He can do this.
I think we root for him because, first of all, Kelsey Grammer. And second of all, it's an underdog. You got to root for the underdog. Mm-hmm. I think it's more an underdog thing than an attachment to old technology.
But while playing this game, Banjo-Tooie, I just straight up didn't like. Dave, I think I'm with you. Like 3D platformers and collectathons are not my thing. Yeah. But this is one of those games where I can play it and be like, I can see where this is good if you're into this. Yeah. It's not my thing, but I can see that it's good on its own merits.
Yeah, I agree with that statement. And it's one of those things where I could see myself playing more of this game. I can't see myself playing more of this game and being like, I love this. But I could play more, and I'd be willing to play more to see how the dialogue turns out and stuff like that. Because there are legitimately funny things happen in this game, and I like that, and I appreciate that. But it's just, man, I got to collect all those music notes, and I got to collect all the all the puzzle, all the jiggies. I got to collect all the Jinjos. I don't want to collect all the Jinjos. I don't want to do it.
I think that I don't think that you're going to like Mario 64.
I know. I'm so worried about that.
It's not quite the collect-a-thon.
Yeah.
You do collect things, not as many things, but it is the same like open world exploration kind of thing.
I see. Okay.
Very much. And it looks very similar too.
Here's what I'm holding out hope for. That Mario 64 will have things that remind me of older Mario games. Where it's like, I recognize that thing. That'll get me through this game. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a Goomba.
Give me that nostalgia.
Yeah, exactly. I need that numbing. I need that numbing thing. Yeah, absolutely. Where it's like in Banjo-Kazooie, it's like, I have no idea what all the shit is. It's just like, it's weird. It's like going over to like someone's house that you don't know and just like going through their things. That's what Banjo-Kazooie is like. Because it's like, here's a shitty old blanket. I bet someone loves this.
But like the music is really good.
Yeah.
I think the music is very appropriate and impressive the way like when you shift different scenes, like you can go into a regular cave into like a wintry cave, the music will shift.
Mm-hmm. And not like a stop and start transition, mm-hmm. like fade in, fade out.
Yeah.
And also whenever you go underwater, it changes from whatever the normal music was to more of like a chime version.
And it's
of the
music. And it's appropriate. Mm-hmm. So I think the music is really, really well done. It's really colorful. Like I said, like if I'd play this in its day,
yeah,
when I can see this was like really big, I would have loved it.
I think so too.
I'm at the point I can't go back and really love it. I've played next to Zelda, the second most I've played on the N64 is Mario 64. And I don't see why people say this is the best game ever made and prefer it to Mario 64. Because I think Mario 64 is a lot better than this. This isn't bad by any means, but I think Mario 64 is objectively better in a lot of ways.
I don't agree.
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, the voters on Dorkly.com agree because they put this a lot lower than Mario 64.
I feel like in saying that Mario 64 is better has a lot to do with the fact that it is Mario.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that you can say that it's...
The amount of polish on it is... It was the headliner for the N64. The way more work was done on Mario 64 than...
Yeah, I mean, Kazooie. I feel like there's other factors in play there other mm-hmm. than just, you know, strictly gameplay.
And that's what I'm counting on. That's what I'm counting. I'm hoping that will get me through Mario 64.
Yeah, but there are definitely things to collect in Mario 64 too. So,
did you get through your notes? You got a lot of notes. I feel like you barely scratched
the surface. One page was the quiz.
Yeah.
We didn't talk a lot about the transformations. You mentioned that you get transformed into a termite.
Right.
You also get transformed into a crocodile, a walrus, a pumpkin, and a bee.
And a washing machine.
Different point throughout the game.
I heard that there is an exploit that speedrunners use where they stay in the bee for way longer than you're intended to.
Yeah, because you can exit the levels and still be in your transformed state.
And like you go within a certain range mm-hmm. and Mumbo like takes, or like the magic's not powerful enough. Like I think, I haven't watched anything, but from what I read, there are speedrunners who like figured out a way to not have Mumbo come back and take the magic. So like they're just zipping through the rest of the game.
And it's really cute whenever you get transformed like in the termite or the crocodile or whatever, you still have your little backpack on.
Yeah.
And it's very cute.
What happens to Kazooie when that, like...
Stays in the backpack, I guess.
Just really tiny in the backpack?
Tiny Kazooie.
Or do they meld together? Because that's kind of what I was like. Do they meld together and then they are one?
Toxic Avenger style? Yeah. Then what? And what is Kazooie's problem?
Why is she
What is
bitchy?
Going on with Kazooie? Okay, well, one... Okay, the bitchiness does lead to humorous dialogue.
But little boys are trying to master it too. That might have something to do with it.
But like, yeah, it's this bird who I guess is like lazy. Is like Kazooie, like Banjo's lazy friend. Like, I'm just gonna live in your backpack.
You mean why is she in the backpack?
I mean, yeah, why is she in the back? Why does she like when you see it in Banjo's house? The backpack is on a hook for like a coat.
Yeah,
and she's still in it.
Maybe she's sleeping in it.
Is that she's like, I don't want to have to get a house payment. Like, I'll just stay here. It's fine. I'll mooch off. You won't give a shit.
They're best friends. They want to be together all the time.
It's not super nice to anybody, including Banjo. Or is Banjo just kind of dumb? So okay.
Banjo sounds dumb. Like the noises he makes. that kind of stuff. He sounds like Goofy, essentially.
See, now I got a mean image of Banjo-Kazooie as Josh and Nicole. And Josh is like, whatever you want to do, shut up.
Can you guys do a Banjo-Kazooie cosplay for Dragon Con? Can you make that happen?
Can you? I just want to see you carry Josh around on your back right. And just run really fast.
What else you got, Nicole? Convince us. Convert us to Banjo-Kazooie.
I don't think that you're convertible.
No.
Honestly.
you're right, but you could try.
I thought that the mini games were good. I don't usually like mini games, but I thought the mini games were good. There's one in Clinker's Cavern where you're in Clinker and you swim through rings. You have to do it within a certain time frame. There's one where it's like a memory game and the frogs are singing and you have to remember which frog sings in what order. There's one where Christmas lights are trying to get to a Christmas tree and you have to protect them from the thing that eats Christmas lights.
What is that thing that eats Christmas lights?
It's called, I think it's called a twinkler eater.
I mean, that makes sense.
Because they're twinklers are what the Christmas lights are called.
That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, and then, there's a maze and memory match games and things like that. So I thought that it had, mini games in each world, and I thought that they were pretty good.
Can you play them independently of the main game, or are they just they're just part of the game
and
you play them?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's it.
I'm glad I played it.
Yeah, I'm glad I played it too. Now I'm glad that I'm a lot more familiar with it than mm-hmm. I was before playing it, because now I feel like I can at least talk about it. Where before it was just like, I don't know, bird in a backpack.
And it makes me sad to see a promising franchise after the first game just crash and burn so terribly. Because, I mean, Banjo-Tooie, okay, the fans will play it because they love Banjo. It's not as good of a game, but fans will play it and love it. And then nothing for years and years and years. Basically skip a console generation, get another one, and it's like the worst thing you've ever played. Like, take your child nostalgia and we're just going to fuck it because we're Microsoft. So,
pretty much.
Not in a beautiful way, either.
They're not putting on a condom. They're just wanting dry anal. Like, it's not nice. They gave it to the max hardcore treatment. So,
I'm glad that you guys played it too. I wish that you would have played it more mm-hmm. to get a better feel for it. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad that you guys played it.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I feel like if I'd played it more, there's a good likelihood that I would have been like Tyler and been like, no more, never again. So like, this is like, if I were to play this more, I just have to pace myself and be like, all right, here's a 10-minute session. Okay, got a few music notes. Let's save and quit. Watch the baby bear Dixie Kong turn into the thing. And okay, sexy orc. All right, great.
That's what makes it hard to do for a twice weekly podcast, because like, there's no way I could sit down and like binge on this game
It would be easy to sit down and do in world chunks. Like, I'm going to do this world, and then the next time do this world. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're manageable enough that you can do a world in a sitting.
It felt smaller to me than Banjo-Tooie, because Banjo-Tooie felt like it was just this one big thing that kind of one melded into the other. Mm-hmm. But Banjo-Kazooie felt like there was like kind of the central hub that you kept going back to,
yeah.
Which I liked. I actually liked that structure a lot better than, cause it was less, I mean, it was less overwhelming, because Banjo-Tooie was just like, oh my God, I
meander in open space mm-hmm. until you find something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I didn't feel that way with this game. And that might have to do with why I felt it was faster. I mean, I felt like I was getting to places that I wanted to go quicker, and I was able to do the things that I wanted to do in a more timely fashion.
Yeah.
I got a question for you guys. If you could have one of Banjo and Kazooie's powers in real life, which one would you want to have?
The spring jump.
The spring jump?
Mm-hmm.
But you'd have to like get on the, you'd have to get on the button to do that. You're okay with that?
I'm okay with that.
Okay. What if the buttons are real expensive to install?
I'm still okay with that. Being short, okay. I like the idea of having the option to reach really high places when I need to.
Okay, but not fly.
Not fly.
Okay.
I feel like the flying is a little stressful. I mean, I enjoy it, but I feel like it is a little bit stressful.
Yeah, because if you don't get the thing you're flying after, yeah, now you got a whole, yep, scratch it.
Hold my breath for a really long time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's practical. I like that. I do like that.
And to be able to tell like exactly how much breath I have left before I die.
Definitely useful.
So, yeah.
That is pretty good. Or really, really scary when you're about to drown.
I would just move to an island and become a pearl diver.
Yeah.
I feel like that's always been my missed calling. Just me and all the island boys diving deep into the sea trying to get pearls. Yeah. That's what I was supposed to be.
I want a big red bird that I can lie on the back of. It just like, it's hilarious when Kazooie takes over because they're super fast and like Banjo just like goes into a coma on Kazooie's back. Like he's just frozen there on his back. That's what I want to do. I want to go into stasis while somebody runs quickly while I'm on their back.
So that's why I just want to see like Josh just sprawled out on all fours, just kind of still while she's on Nicole's back and she runs around. It's amusing to me.
I prepared a quiz for you guys.
Oh shit. All right.
Can
we do achievements first?
I guess if you want to.
No, we do achievements first. Let's do achievement first. Okay. Do you guys have any achievements for this game?
I do have some achievements for this game. Would you like me to go first?
Sure. Because I only have one.
Okay. We'll split it then. I'll do mine. You do yours. I'll do mine. Nicole, do you have any?
I have one.
All right. We'll go around then. My first achievement is Danky Kang. And in order to unlock Danky Kang, thanks, Sam, for reminding me that that's a thing, because that's a Steam name, is to get past Konga. Do you guys remember Konga in this game? Konga is a giant orange, not banana, orange-throwing gorilla in Mumbo's Mountain. He's not Donkey Kong. He's Danky Kang. So in order to unlock that achievement, you have to get past him. There's also what I refer to right next to him is a smaller monkey with a tail. He's essentially naked Diddy Kong who wants an orange. I couldn't think of a name for the achievement, but like the unlock it would be like give naked Diddy Kong an orange. Nicole?
My achievement is if you can't say anything nice, and that you get that by talking to every instance where Gruntilda is throughout the game telling you bad stuff about Gruntilda.
Awesome. I was hoping it was going to be don't talk about this game with Tyler and Dave.
I didn't unlock this achievement. Yeah. My achievement is hot ass witch. And you get hot ass witch by quitting the game.
Yeah. All right. Do you also get that if you run out of lives?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I don't know. Didn't happen.
I got another achievement that, okay, I don't know. Here's the thing. I don't know if I used this on Banjo-Tooie. Probably, like as I was writing it, I was like, probably use this. It seems pretty obvious. Me One Honeycomb? Remember that? Remember that? Me One Honeycomb. In order to unlock that, you collect all of the honeycomb containers in the game.
Mm.
And then I do have a third one because I was pretty sure I used Me One Honeycomb before, which is called 200% completion. And in order to unlock 200% completion, you have to 100% the N64 game, which you got to collect all of the things. And then you have to 100% the Xbox 360 version, which is not surprising, looks so much better than the N64 version. No?
It looks better. It also has achievements on Xbox.
Do you like that or do you not like that?
It didn't bother me. They weren't very good achievements. Yeah. So.
Do you prefer the N64 version over the 360 version or is there no preference?
I don't feel like you have a preference.
This is a stumbling block for me because I feel like I'm not emulating the N64 games and I feel like I should be because I watch people emulate them and they look so much better. Like the lines look crisp, the colors look better. They're running filters is what they're doing and it makes the game look better. And I feel like if I were doing that, I would probably be into these games a little more mm-hmm. because playing them on my modern television man, is not great. It's not a great experience because it's a, I mean, it's a fairly decent sized television, and these games were not meant to be played on these giant screens. And I'm not using like any kind of like overscan or anything like that. It's just straight up plug these AV cables into the back. So it's got that, like, I guess you could say authentic fuzziness. You know what, do you know what I mean? Where it's like the old games, like with these old composite hookups, just had, they weren't crisp. They had these fuzzy lines to them, which I just can't, I that's a barrier for me now. I can't get past. Like, I even prefer to, I prefer the way emulated NES games look over the real deal because they've got like, I can see the pixels and it's like, oh, that's what that thing's supposed to look like as opposed to furry blob.
See, it would help if we could really emulate the N64 games at all, so then we could play them at the same time, as opposed to you play a game that you bought on the cartridge and then loan it to me.
Yeah.
Because we have to split our time between our already really long games trying to get in as much as we can. So it just makes it harder.
Yep, absolutely.
Be easy to emulate N64. Jesus. So like fucking Rogue Squadron, we're just like, nope, nope, can't do it.
I thought about playing the PC version, honestly. I thought, like, if I could have found it somewhere, like on Good Old Games or somewhere to buy, would have, and I would have played the PC version because then I can just, like, okay, this looks good. And it's not because, I mean, it's still an old game. It's still not going to look great, but, I mean, there's going to be no problem from, like, the display output of my computer to my television. I'm not going to have that weird effect that I've got on the N64. Quiz. You got a quiz, Nicole?
Yep. Yeah, but I started getting really paranoid.
Oh, that's fine.
Did somebody do a quiz when we talked about Banjo-Tooie?
Yes, I did. Bear or bird?
Okay, because that's exactly what I have.
Excellent. Let's do it.
I spent like 20 minutes making this, and I just thought of that. I was like, shit, we already did one of those.
So I made the last one, so I should be really good at this. I have a feeling there'll be different questions, so it'll be good.
Man, I hope you give us the verbatim. You forgot you listened to that episode. Like, you listened to that episode as you fell asleep and forgot you heard it.
Guys, I incepted Nicole.
Shit. Okay, I can't believe I did that. That's okay. It's okay. I feel like your quiz was probably better than mine's going to be.
We haven't even taken yours yet. You can't start downplaying your quiz.
We'll ruthlessly judge you after the quiz.
What was your quiz? Was it like...
Is it a bear or a bird?
Was it and real? Was it real things?
Some of them were. Okay. And some of them weren't.
Mine are all real things.
Okay.
Okay. Makes me feel a little better.
Okay.
It's a little different.
I wonder if anybody wonders this also why Nicole won't really cook for me. She's afraid I'll judge her too much.
I'm very self-conscious. Okay. Let's see. Their normal body temperature is 7 to 8 degrees hotter than a human.
Bear or bird? Probably bear, Tyler, do you think? Because, like, don't birds... Are birds cold-blooded? Like lizards?
I don't believe so. I'll say bird.
Well, now I want to go bird, because I feel like as a culinary profession...
Are we a team or are we competing?
Yeah, are we a team or competing?
I don't know. You guys decide.
I want to be a team.
Okay.
I'm going to defer to you. I feel like body temperature is very much your arena.
Bear is probably... I feel like bear is the safer bet.
You think so? Why? Yeah. Do bigger animals have higher body temperature?
I guess that would make more sense. They're fattier. They sleep longer. Like, I think that's a safer bet than like if a bird has like 105 as a regular temperature.
Yeah.
Then.
Well, when I've hit a bird on the highway, like their blood never like seared through my windshield or anything. So.
I feel like I've seen like movies where they've done bear slaughter and there's been like steam in the air. So let's say we'll go bear.
Tyler, do birds have blood?
No, it's just air. That's why when if you stab a bird, it deflate like a balloon.
Have you ever had to kill a chicken or something like that?
They pop.
Do you remember the blood? Did like it get on your skin and you're like, fuck, that's hotter than my blood temperature.
I've seen a turkey. I've seen rabbits slaughtered at Chong's and I saw...
For food?
Yeah,
gym for fun.
The cooks in the back had their own like rabbit hutch that that's what they could think for them. They had the rabbits.
They didn't serve the rabbit.
No. Okay. Not to customers. That was for all the cooks.
Okay. I mean, it's fine. People eat rabbit, but I know their menu, and I know there's nothing rabbit on their menu.
That's what General Tso's chicken actually is. And then when I worked at the butcher's block for Thanksgiving, they didn't order enough turkeys because a lot of people like the all organic turkeys and stuff from us. When we ordered more, there was a mistake, and we got like 4 live turkeys. So the chef de cuisine had to like legitimately take them out back, kill, defeather, all the stuff to the actual turkeys. And that was terrible.
So bird or bear?
I'm going to say I think bear.
You said bird at first. You're going to change?
No, I said bird mostly because you said bear.
Oh, okay.
So, but I think bear is a safer choice.
Ever the contrarian, Tyler.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay, bear.
Going with bear?
Yeah.
Going with bear.
It's bird.
Fuck. You kind of like emus and shit, not like sparrows. The big ass birds.
Let's see. These can live up to 30 years in the wild.
Well, that's bear.
Yeah, because I know bear. Parrots live like 80 years. So, yeah, bear.
Bear is correct. Some species are intelligent enough to make and use tools.
Well, that's bird. Bears are dumb.
Yeah.
And murderers.
I've seen birds use like sticks and stuff to get into like trees to, so, yeah. We'll say bird.
Bird. Bird. It is bird.
Bears are seriously assholes, though. Like bear, like bears are crazy animals. Don't trust a bear.
But they're not very smart. They always say to hang your food in trees. And bears are stupid enough. They're not going to be like,
they haven't invented anything yet to get the food out of the trees. So I say fuck them.
These often play a central role in many creation myths.
Bear? Like Ursa Major, Ursa Minor. But that's not really a creation myth.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking like
Quetzalcoatl. That's a bird.
And then like
monster.
And then like Noah, the bird flies with the olive branch to Noah to show him that there's land.
Yeah, but that's not a. Did you say creation?
I said myth,
right?
not
fact, Tyler. Please don't disrespect. So creation, like what are the creation myths?
I guess birds lay eggs. I feel like eggs have a lot to do with creation.
All right, I like that. Eggs.
Yeah.
Bears don't lay eggs.
Bears.
That I know of.
Most do not.
Yeah. So bird?
I think bird.
Yeah, bird.
Bird is correct.
All right.
Yay. Okay, let's see. These are often a symbol of pride and power.
Bear.
A bear.
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 I'm as proud as a bear. I say it every day.
I'm House Mormont. Yeah, there you go.
These do not sweat.
Birds.
Made this too easy.
Well, we fucked up the body temperature one.
Their organs are often used for medicinal purposes in Asian cultures.
Are there bears in Asia?
Panda bears,
yeah. Are those really bears, though, or are those one of those animals that's like a koala bear? That's not a bear.
No, you're right, it's a marsupial.
Yeah, but a panda bear's a bear?
A panda bear is a bear. It's just been genetically dumbed down.
I thought it's not like this is gonna sound crazy, guys. But I thought I thought like panda bear was like in the raccoon family. Well, is that
red pandas are a different family?
Okay, that's probably.
But then, like panda bears are like, because what was I reading the other day? Like Tony, correct me. I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I feel like there was something about like bears. Panda bears can like eat meat and be carnivorous and things like that. There's like some
they
genetic
to eat bamboo.
There's some genetic defect that makes them like just okay, bamboo, sure.
Fine. Big bamboo just keeps shoving it down their throats. Influencing the baby pandas.
So I'm trying to think other birds that have been used in like chickens. I feel like the panda bear is kind of sacred in Asian culture. So I would want to say bird.
There's probably other bears though. Cause like
no.
There's probably other bears.
There were white bears and there were black bears, and they mix. They're panda bears, and that's all the bears.
Because Russia's pretty close to Asia. Mm-hmm. Russia's like Asia light, and there's bears there. I know because they put them on big balls.
Zangief wrestled them. Yeah, right.
I think it's bear. Because it's always like a big fucking crazy animal, like a tiger's dick or something like that. Right? It's never like a pigeon's wing or something, right? I mean,
This is hard. I feel like it could go either way.
Yeah.
But it's your turn to choose, because I feel like I chose one, then you chose one, so now.
I'm going to go bear.
Okay, let's go bear. I'm going to go bear.
It is bear.
Yes.
All right. Whew.
One of these won a Distinguished Service Cross in World War I.
Carrier pigeon, probably. I'm going to go bird.
Yeah, bird.
It is indeed a carrier pigeon. It's a bird.
Because in, like, I think during World War II, no, that was balloons. They didn't use birds. Never mind.
They used birds and balloons in conjunction with one another.
Well, the Japanese using weighted balloons in the jet stream to send bombs from Japan over to, like, Washington, Oregon.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Certain species can remember faces that they have not seen in 10 years.
I think bears are pretty dumb, right? I'm going to go bird.
Let's go with the general fact. We'll answer every question under the guise that bears are dumb. So birds.
And some of them lay eggs.
You're going to go bird?
Bird.
Yeah.
It is bear.
Oh, motherfucker.
Damn.
And last one, during World War II, one of these was drafted as a private in the Polish Army.
Oh, that's a bear. That's a bear.
The Poles would draft a bear.
Private bear. There's a whole movie about it.
It is indeed a bear. And I love the fact that the bear was drafted. He got his paper in the mail and he had to go report.
We're going to have to conscript one of you motherfuckers. Yeah, you can't just live here for...
It's like Dragon Age where they go, like, you've been conscripted. The bear's angry. No! Nope. You live on Polish land. You've to our laws. You're conscripted.
Every now and then you murder one of our children. This is the arrangement. You can either get on the fucking ball or you can come fight with us.
One interesting fact I did find out whenever I was researching, there are only 8 species of bear in the world.
Can you name them?
All right, do you want to see if we can name all the species of bear?
Grizzly.
Black.
Brown. Black. Polar.
Uh-huh.
Panda.
Panda.
Panda. Sun. Sun bear. Kodiak. How many did you say there were?
8.
Fuck. We're missing one, right?
Missing one bear. I've never heard of sun bear.
I might have made it up. Okay. Sun and moon bear.
Kodiak bear, though. Legit.
I think sun bear's a bear. Gummy bear?
You ever see koala bears? That's straight out.
Yeah, koala bears are right out. Other kind of bear.
Teddy bear.
Teddy bear. Teddy bear. You know? Teddy bear.
Yeah, I don't know what that other one is.
I also read that 75% of the world's bears are located in North America.
I believe that.
Guys, I'm going to look up the bears.
We have to know all the eight bears.
This is bothering me.
And then we'll also have to divide the Tadpog Nation out. The 8 bear tribes. Everyone takes their own, everyone takes their own bear.
The 8 bear species of the world. From bearwithus.org. Here we go. Number 1. North American black bear. Mm-hmm. We said black bear. Mm-hmm. Count it. Number 2, brown bear. Mm-hmm. Count it. Number 3, polar bear. Mm-hmm. Number 4, Asiatic black bear.
Oh, there's 2 different black bears.
Yeah, it's the Asia black bear.
Okay.
Yeah. Andean black bear. So, I'm guessing sun bear I made up.
Probably one of those nickname is sun bear.
Maybe. Panda bear is a bear, not a raccoon like I thought. Sloth bear.
Hey, they made that one up.
Sun bear. And that's it. Those are the bears, everybody. Where's I guess grizzly's just a big old brown bear?
And where are the polar bears?
Polar bears listed.
You said polar bear.
Oh, did you say polar bear? Yeah. I guess they are. I guess they're just big brown bears.
Interesting.
I nominate Josh as a sloth bear. That's his tribe.
Oh, yeah, here they are.
Nicole, sew it into all of his clothes.
The interior bears of the North American Rocky Mountains are called grizzly bears.
Oh, so they're specific they're to the different. Rockies.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Interesting.
Cool. Well, there we go.
That's it for BearCast, guys.
Yeah.
Beth said, we do a whole show on just bears. It's fine.
Join us next week where we talk about sexual preference bears.
Divide the Tadpog Nation out into your sexual
and the bears and otters.
Bears, otters.
Cubs.
Oh, shit. Ferrets? No, is that one? There's some other...
Marmosets?
I've always thought of myself as a sexual marmoset.
That's my new Steam name. Sexual marmoset. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
Had a lot of fun today.
Yeah.
So much fun with Nicole's awesome bear quiz.
That was good. That was a good
that
quiz.
That she thought was going to be bad, that I almost forgot to ask you some very important questions.
Mm-hmm.
The first of which being, if you were to give this game a beard, what kind of beard would you give it?
Josh's beard.
Josh's beard.
Yep.
Why? Because Nicole loves it?
Uh-huh. Because Nicole loves it and we think it's okay.
That's a good one. I like that. I like that. That was a good joke. Tyler, if you were to give this game a pair of glasses, what kind of glasses would you give it?
I would give it a pair of hot pink framed spectacles that were once worn by Nicole before she got her current glasses. So Nicole's pink glasses.
Because they're nostalgic?
Yep. Because they're older. They're the old Nicole. Like that Nicole was like really into Banjo-Kazooie. This Nicole is more mature Nicole, like enjoys what Banjo-Kazooie meant.
Yeah. Okay. I do like your new glasses,
I have matured into black frames.
Yeah. I like them better than the pink frames.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. You're welcome. King of glasses approved. I got another question. This is for both of you guys. I want to know how much this game is on Amazon. If you were to buy this game used right now, how much do you think you pay for it on Amazon? Tyler, what do you think?
$18.50.
Cool.
$8.99.
Actual retail value of Banjo-Kazooie for the N64 used on Amazon at the time of this recording is $20.98. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's a lot of dollars.
I know there's a ton of copies, but if this is really the best game ever made, no one's going to want to sell their copy. But like, I'm not going to part with this for at least $20.
I think you're right. That's a good point. Anyone want to take a stab at how much it is new?
$200.
Nicole?
$220.
Mm. $300 new. If anyone wants to buy that, there you go. We'll have.
We can all pitch in for your next birthday.
Yeah, there we go. I like that.
Just buy me a 64. I need one of those first.
You don't have one?
I have.
Oh, it's somewhere in your...
It is somewhere.
In your grandmother's Indiana Jones receptacle of...
Yes. Somewhere there. Haven't found it.
In a warehouse, in a crate with all the other N64s that kids have lost.
Well, Dave and I can dress up like the American Pickers, and we'll film a YouTube episode where we go through...
You dress up like them. That's just how we look.
We do look just like...
I mean, people say that about us all the time.
You're tall and skinny, and you're short and fat with a beard. Like, yeah.
You guys are... Actually, they're more like... You guys look very similar.
Nicole, you have tons of tattoos and answer our phones. So, yeah, we're all three like the American Pickers. Oh. Any last minute comments about Banjo-Kazooie?
I guess play it if you want.
Yeah.
There's my very neutral opinion on Banjo-Kazooie.
I recommend playing it. And I recommend playing through at least the first two worlds before you give up.
So how broken is your heart about this episode so far?
No, I mean, everybody has different opinions. And not everybody likes the same thing. So.
Okay.
You're taking a lot better than I took Earthworm Jim. I had like a crisis going on behind this very cool facade.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud. So don't miss the next episode. We've got something special for the next Other Shit Monday.
Yeah.
And
we'll keep it a surprise, I think. Yep. Yeah.
And then what's going on the next game that we play? I don't even know.
Paper Mario.
Ah, okay.
A long one. A big old game.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Which I don't own. So I'm buying that on the Wii.
Yeah, I should probably do that too. We leave like 5-star iTunes reviews. We do. We like those.
You know what we like better than bears?
5-star iTunes reviews. Barely, though. Just barely. So, we're at 113. Just, 100-something more, and I'll watch Star Wars. And, every little bit helps. It makes us come up in more searches, we're more prevalent, grows the show, does infinite good things. iTunes is still by far the biggest marketplace for podcasts. Yep. Hopefully that'll change one day. A lot of people have problems with iTunes. The longer we do this show, the more problems we have with iTunes.
Yeah.
So, but they hold.
We just got to deal with it.
They've got, yeah, they've got the keys of the kingdom. Yeah. So leave us a 5-star written review on there. Even though as painful as that process might be, we try to further incentivize it for you. So if there's a game you want us to play or a guest host you want for an episode, put that in there. We promise we will get to that eventually.
Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're going to be back. We're going to be talking about a mystery thing. In the meantime, you can always find us at tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. Hey, you want to see that 4chan post I was talking about where the kid jerked it to Banjo's Gooter?
So you didn't say 4chan before, and now that makes much more sense.
You can find it there. I've got a link to it. It'll be in the show notes. You can view it. Hey, I know you like the voice of Kazooie a lot. You want to hear 10 hours of it straight? We'll have a link to that in the show notes. Go to tadpog.com. Check it out. You can also find us on Facebook. We are at facebook.com/tadpog. There's a lot of cool people there doing a lot of cool shit. Tyler will normally make an episode post. And if you have anything at all to say about Banjo-Kazooie, that is the best place to put it, because we'll read those things. And other listeners will read those things. And who knows? They probably have opinions too. You can find us on Twitter. We are at tadpog_podcast. It's cute cumbersome, I realize. Thank you for everybody who is retweeting us and tweeting at us. I really appreciate it, especially the episode announcements, because those really spread the word. You want to call us? You want to maybe be on an all-call show? Maybe we'll get you in at the end of a normal episode. Feel free to call us at 270-883-2555. Leave us a voicemail. Keep it under 3 minutes. We love questions. You can send us a text if you want. I guarantee you I'll fuck it up. We got a Patreon. If you do want to give us some money, you can do that. That is an option for you. You can do that at patreon.com/tadpog. There's a lot of people who have already done that, and I really do appreciate it. We both do. That's it's really cool to know that people care enough to open their wallets. That's a really good feeling, and it'll also be a great way for us to kind of defer the cost of hosting and our SoundCloud premium account that we'll have to upgrade at the end of the year. So It's cool. Thank you very much. Our theme song?
Nicole?
It's Moves by Sycamore Drive.
We're going to link to that track we found
in the notes at tadpog.com.
The notes?
Show notes.
Okay.
Show nuts. Okay. You're welcome, Paul Cool. You're welcome, Ruby Baron. Paul Cool.
Yeah. How would you like us to close it out, Nicole? What's something you're comfortable enough to do? You get to choose.
I don't have any voices that I'm comfortable doing. I think you know that.
You're going to do it like a Banjo-Kazooie character?
Yeah. Yeah, pick your favorite Banjo-Kazooie character.
Oh, it has to be your favorite?
Okay. Or your least favorite? Or the best voice?
Just one of them?
Just a character?
Okay.
So until next time. God, I wish we'd all done that.
Are they? How do you know when you have one?
Because it feels like you have two buttholes.
That doesn't sound like it's necessarily a bad thing.
Well, it hurts.
Oh, okay.